right. Well, today is November 3rd, and it is Election Day. So we are here today interviewing a wonderful businesswoman. She is the owner and founder of Dress Code Style, Maribeth Gracie, and True You Consulting. She has over 20 years of personal styling experience and 15 years of professional development coaching. She's focused on personal brand strategy. So we wanted to talk to Maribeth today about, you know, why she got started. Tell us more about your business. And of course, as women in business, you know, we know that the country's come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. So Maribeth.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate being here. And I do like to talk about women in business. I'm very fortunate. I've been doing this for quite some time, but I will not tell you that the journey has been easy. We are a retail store, but we do have the consulting piece, which is a separate company where we go into Fortune 1000 companies and work with high talent individuals, predominantly women, on their personal brand, which is, you know, how they want to show up. Mm-hmm. And so I always say that I offer work, play, and party. And try to really cover women's lifestyle and their decade changes. So the young professional, as well as the philanthropist, as well as the seasoned C-suite level.
Right. So in C-suite level, can you share with us some of the great women? I mean, not to name drop, but I mean, are there...
I can tell companies. I won't tell names. AIG, Deloitte, USAA, Novant Health.
Now Solarte.
Now Solarte. That's right. That's right, which has been fun. It's exciting because a lot of these women usually have really had their heads down, very focused on moving levels in their career path, and they don't spend enough time on themselves. Mm-hmm. They tend to put themselves on the back burner, but selling yourself and your skill set is your biggest asset. I help them navigate that.
That's great. So Maribeth also worked in the banking industry, and I did as well, which is interesting. I don't know if you knew that about me. And so I'd love to hear about that transition and what changed your mind. Not banking is great, but what took you out of banking?
That's a good question. I started out in fashion and communications, and then I did get hired at Bank of America, now B of A. I was a mortgage lender, and I loved it, and I did great at it, but it just was not for me. And I really... I missed fashion. And so when I worked at the bank, it was when casual Fridays were first starting.
Right.
And so because they knew I had a fashion background, I started getting asked because there was a little bit of a disaster going on, which is still going on, by the way.
Yeah.
With people trying to understand what that means because it's so subjective. Mm-hmm. So they'd say, could you talk to the tellers? Could you kind of explain to them what we mean by casual Friday? So I had the opportunity, and then that kind of teased me into like, oh, I really do miss this. And so I left and went searching for money to open my own.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a long process. That doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when you're a privately held company, you know, banks want to see a huge revenue stream before they'll even touch you. And that's what I learned on the other side of banking is I learned the finance side. And so when building my own company, I understand how all that works, which is good. You know, it's good to know that.
It is. It's real good to know that. But it's also good to find, in my opinion, that bank that will still go to bat for the first time player.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That will not just look at the four C's or whatever they, you know, if I can remember, mm-hmm. you know, of credit and really say, you've got a great business plan. This is worth investing in.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, okay, tell me about, I skipped over the part about you having retail stores. So you have one retail store in Greensboro. You're opening another one in Raleigh in late February. Mm-hmm. Tell me about those stores.
Well, the one in Greensboro has been there, obviously, the longest. And it's interesting because I started out the store, I would have told you that 80% of it was a social client and 20% was working. And now that's totally reversed. Just shows that more women are in the workplace. It's more two parents working in a home
right.
and that sort of thing, that transition. I've been through it to watch that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people think I'm insane to open another store in this environment. But I've never been very risk averse, which may not be the best thing, but I decided that maybe this is the best time to try mm-hmm. to have another store.
Right.
And Raleigh's a really great market as far as the demographic, and it'd be nice to be in our capital. So I'm going to give it a try.
That's right. And I think a lot of times when you are a risk taker, you know, it's two steps forward, three steps back. But eventually when you can navigate the rough times and have some staying power, you know, that resilience. And when you're entrepreneurial, you know, you're always creative and you're always thinking about, okay, well, if that doesn't work, then I'll try this. And, you know, it's just that, you know, moving forward one day at a time, doing the next thing. And I'm excited. I'm excited for you to have, I think we're going to find after the pandemic and after, you know, we have a vaccine and all of that, that brick and mortar is going to be alive and well because people are going to want to come out and shop, you know.
Right. Well, I've been reading every report and every research paper on the topic. And they do say, too, that where years ago, the small specialty store was really the bastion of where to shop. And then it went to the department store. Now it's coming back to something more personal, which is what I really pride myself in. I mean, a lot of people say they really do this and that with customer service. I really feel like dress code style takes it to another level. We really do understand your life,
right,
and what your needs are. And our big mantra is fewer, finer things. We don't believe in selling you something you don't need. So it is a philosophy that I think is different. We want things to have a shelf life, that you get excited. I mean, I get tickled when people come in and go, Meredith, I know you don't want to hear this, but I've been wearing this blazer 10 years. And I'm like, so that's just music to my ears, because when I sold you that blazer, it was a little bit of arm twist because right. I do sell better product. But the fact that you still enjoy pulling it out is just what I'm about. And that makes me very happy.
Classic and enduring.
Classic, enduring, with attention to detail and a little bit of an edge. It's right. going to have a little style, but it's not going to be trendy.
Right. I like it. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to the next generation of female entrepreneurs right now?
I would tell them to work on their communication skills. I think that because so many of the younger generations are so digitally oriented, tech oriented, maybe easier to say, that I don't want them to forget how much that human connection, and maybe if nothing else, this whole COVID thing with that younger generation of not just women, but people, they've seen that even though they didn't have as much as you and I may have had, they now not having any is really not good. And I just think that touch point with people builds a real solid foundation in your relationships and longstanding. They usually become longstanding business partners with you and customers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's real important.
That's good. So how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
Well, I'll either take a class or, like I said, I read like a nut about what direction things are going, and also just the psyche of what people need. And I say need, not necessarily want. I like need covered and sprinkled with a little want, because I think that's more enduring. And I think that you're buying with purpose. And I think as we go forward, that's going to matter more. So all my friends and my clients would probably tell you that I'm a forever learner. So I'm always looking, and I have a lot of mentors that I look to that don't do what I do, but still have a great lens to share with me that's always helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I think also as entrepreneurs, sometimes, you know, we want to be the forerunners and the trailblazers and all of that, but there's accountability, you know, in our lives too. And I was just curious about if there are ways that, you know, I know that you have a fiance, so congratulations on that. Just accountability in general, like taking care of yourself, and, you know, what do you do to take care of yourself when the stress is just over the top?
I think that's a really good question. I did a seminar with a terrific mentor, great friend who does a leadership development. We did it in Greensboro, actually. And it was all about life balance for working women and how that's really a charade, and it's a bill of goods we've been sold, because the real metaphor for it is like a seesaw. So if you ever were on the seesaw as a kid, you know, sometimes you'd have your friend and y'all balance it just perfect and you're like so excited. But more often than not, one would be out of kilter. So to burden yourself as a female to say that I can keep that balance as a mother, a wife, a working career woman, I don't think that's fair. And I think that weight of that, if you're just getting rid of that, makes life a little easier for us. And I just say, be kind to yourself. Be really kind to yourself. And I have to have that talk even now with myself, because I think I should be better, stronger, more productive. And I've got to just take a deep breath and say, it gets done. And all you can do is all you can do.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, and my husband always says, just do the next thing. You know, you don't have to be 5 miles down the road. Just
right. And you don't have to get the whole list done.
Right.
And what I would say someone has said to me is what's urgent and what's important. And they're two different things. Mm-hmm.
So what do you consider the biggest area related to your role that you're curious about right now? Is there anything that you're curious about in fashion?
I'm real curious and intrigued and excited about how much manufacturers are working on transparency and how we are working to be better to the environment with what we do. I mean, it's really hard to sell what I do, knowing you're the biggest polluter, you use too much water, you're filling up landfills. Right. I'm not personally, but, you know, fast fashion, all the things that are part of my industry. Mm-hmm. But boy, you know, creatives do creative things. And when held accountable now, they are flat making things happen. And it's exciting. It's so exciting to see what they're doing. Right. And they're getting on it, like on top of it. And it matters. And they're seeing why it should matter. Like if they offered a jacket in six colors, they don't need to offer a jacket in six colors. They need to offer a jacket in two colors. Again, shrinking the offerings does not mean that you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. And don't have collections to look at. It's just ridiculous, though.
That's right. Just the reduction.
Right. Reduction of impact, and also the transparency in their workers and where they're doing business. I love watching that because I see all that innovation and that creativity just churning it out. And it's like, you go for it. I mean, I love it. And I'm being a part of it because those brands that are doing it are brands I'm carrying.
That's great. And I think also just the cause behind that.
Absolutely.
Solarte obviously has our mission focus of women overcoming domestic violence. And mm-hmm. I mean, in your world, what intrigues me about you is just helping women overcome hardship and feeling good about themselves. Mm-hmm. And so you're playing a huge role in that as well. So I look forward to furthering our partnership down the road for women who need to know that they can overcome mm-hmm. and they can move past the things that have kept them down. So if you had extra money in your budget, how would you spend it right now and why?
Oh, wow. Honestly, I would say, now again, this would have to be in a perfect world. I would say I really want to go to Copenhagen. And the reason is because the Copenhagen fashion market intrigues me. And I've been to the Milan fashion market many times. I've been to Paris many times, but I've never done Copenhagen. And years ago, that would not have even been on my radar screen at all.
Right.
But I follow them now, and I'm intrigued with their aesthetic, and I think it's my brand, and they're doing beautifully classic things and gorgeous fabrics that have a little twist and a little something that I'm drawn to it.
It's
so
attractive.
It's very attractive, and there's not a lot of vendors in the United States from that area that show in our U.S. market, so I just have to go.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
If I had the extra money, I think that's what I'd do.
Well, hopefully the traveling will pick up in 2021. So what's been the biggest failure in the last year, and how have you learned from that, if you don't mind sharing?
I don't want to call it a failure. I'd call it circumstance, but I worked really hard to build my consulting practice through consulting the company, getting into these companies, partnering with leadership development firms, and really having the gift and opportunity to work with some amazing powerhouse women. My last engagement was the first week of March, and all my contracts were canceled. And they don't know when it'll come back. I feel almost like a three-legged dog because that was so much a part of what I'm doing and how I feel like I'm being impactful in my work. And I don't have that anymore.
Right.
So I miss it. I miss it terribly. And I don't, because there's uncertainty of when it'll be back, the earliest they say is the end of 21, early 22. Mm-hmm. So that's a big void.
And definitely, we talked about the Zoom calls and all of, and that it just isn't. And for me too. I mean, I love to be in front of our customers and our buyers. The computerized world, it works for a lot of things, but personal touch,
it
just goes so
and that's,
far.
It's very much who I am, and being able to do the seminars and then meeting with the women and men one on one, and just having a good conversation where I really feel like I move their mark. That's something that feeds my soul, and that's a failure at the moment in that I'm not able to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be back. What's the biggest surprise you've had in the last few months, good or bad, and why?
Again, I don't know if I'd want to use the word surprise, but I have to say my client base in Greensboro has really rallied, and they have come in, even if they didn't need anything, even to buy a pair of earrings or a blouse or something, just to say, Mary Beth, I want you here on the other side of this. And mm-hmm. just seeing that they put together the dots that, yeah, like, you know, you're closed for 3 months. That does have an impact on your bottom line.
Right.
You can't make that up, you know. And though many people that have come out and specifically said, I'm out with my mask on supporting you because I want you to be here. I want you to continue to be here. So that's been a gift and a good surprise.
That's great. So what do you find have been the best resources that have helped you along the way over the years? Like, just name some of the resources that have been, other than your customers, obviously.
Right. Well, of course, you learn so much from your customers and really working in the store. A lot of owners that do what I do don't work in the store. And I'm all about being in the store and hearing what the frustrations are, what the successes are, what's working, what's not working. So that's real important to me. The network I've built over the years, I've got a lot of New York women and men who are in the industry at totally different capacities. So like whenever I get in a hiccup, I'm very lucky to have those to draw from and say, okay, like I'll use a great example. When Rent a Runway was just on fire. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing my consulting gigs and I'd go to these things and they'd go, I'll rent my clothes. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah. if everybody goes to renting their clothes, what are we going to do? So I go to my little gurus in New York and they go, Mary Beth, this is not a sustainable business model, you know, and it turned out it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But that made me nervous, but I did have somewhere to go.
Right.
And then on the other side of it, I have a lot of very successful leadership development coaches that I've had the wonderful gift to work with. And because they're in a leadership development role, and whether it's a small business or big corporation, they really are helpful in helping you navigate and talk through things. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're the boss, who do you talk things with?
That's right. That's
so
right.
So I've really tried to build a strong network outside of my business to have those people to call on.
Right. So do you have any people that you mentor right now? Anybody in general?
The most fun I have is always I've had interns. And I feel like I'm hands on deck when I have an intern. And mm-hmm. so I'm not just shuffling them to the corner to file papers right. or whatever. I really try to talk to them about my business and talk to them about, as a small business, all the things you run into, mm-hmm. you know, and how you have to wear a lot of hats. And I've had some amazing interns that have gone on to do really neat things.
Are they primarily from, because you're in Greensboro, so mm-hmm. High Point University? I mean, where are your pools coming from?
Most of mine have come from UNCG.
Okay. UNCG.
I was very friendly with the woman who's head of the design school, fashion mm-hmm. school, communication school, and those are where I tapped into.
That's great.
So I had people do marketing, they could sell, they could design, they could do windows. It was fun to watch, and I'd let them have autonomy and say, okay, do that. Mm-hmm. Then I want to see what you can do. Go do it.
Right.
So they always seem to enjoy that I'd let them have some rain.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I think that's mentoring.
Ownership, for sure. Mm-hmm. I did the same exact thing. Yeah. I've got some students from Wake Forest that have been great, and they're smart, and they're capable, and they're coming up with ideas that I may not think about myself
right.
At this
stage. Right. It's great to have that perspective, I think.
Which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So tell me about any type of, when you talk about personal branding, what are the faux pas that you see the most? Or what are several things that you see women doing that are just, why are you, you know, you just want to shake your head? I mean, not in judgment, but just,
no, I know.
You know, even smart, educated women, like, what do you see?
Well, I'd say on the high end of high level women, they get complacent. They've arrived, so they don't think it matters anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have to say, look, but you are still a leader. You are still an example. And that doesn't go away just because you've gotten the brass ring. Right.
Right.
And then for the managers and senior managers, that kind of middle place that they go up, I would say that they're so heads down that they don't give themselves a chance to look in the mirror and just say, how can I be more memorable and impactful and true to me mm-hmm. and get some bang for my buck? My number one things in my seminars is I say 80% of your communication is nonverbal. That's a fact. So before you open your mouth, and they see a resume, they're seeing you.
Right.
And it needs to be authentic because you can't sustain it if it's not. But a lot of them just, they know it's important and they'll tell you as soon as you sit down with them, I know this is important, but mm-hmm. I've never taken time to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when they learn that it's not that hard and it's just kind of putting their puzzle together, you know, building their brand like you're building a building, or it's their building, it's their authentic self. And really them kind of discovering how big and great it can be by just them spending a little time on it.
Right. It's so liberating. That's a big piece of our branding as well. Mm-hmm. Authenticity and
big time.
Inspiring mm-hmm. beauty from the inside out. Because mm-hmm. if you have a lot going on inside in your mind and your heart, wherever, and you're not dealing with that, it's going to show. I don't care how much makeup you put on mm-hmm. or how cute you look mm-hmm. or professional. You have to be your best self, put your best foot forward, deal with what's not working mm-hmm. for you.
And sometimes it's so simple. And I have like a roadmap that I call it a roadmap coaching sheet. And they're like, gosh, if I'd known it was this easy. I said, I'm telling you, I say it's this little quarter turn that is your wow.
Yes.
And you're not grabbing your wow. And
right.
I'm here to show you what that quarter turn looks like and that it's not a multi-step thing that's going to take you hours and throw your unbalanced life even more unbalanced. Yes. It's just not that hard if you learn it.
Also, I think people want to see, even today, I mean, yes, we all love to look our best when we go, but I mean, people need to know that everybody has struggles and everybody has things
Absolutely.
That they're going through. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you have arrived. You could have a failing marriage, or you could mm-hmm. have a child that's not talking to you, or what have you. And so the authentic side, from an executive perspective in dealing with staff or teams, they actually want to know the real you. And yes, they want to know that you're going to muscle through whatever you're going through as well, right?
Right.
So
right.
How do you help manage people through maybe a personal crisis? Have there been examples?
A lot of that. In fact, there's a whole piece of one of my seminars that's all about transition, mm-hmm. you know, because there's transition. If you've had a baby, you've had weight gain, weight loss, you've had a death in the family, you've gotten divorced, you've had to relocate for your job. All those things impact, and your deck is shuffled and your cards are flying. And
right.
It's nice to have a coach just to kind of pull that deck back together and show you that it can still work.
Be cohesive.
Be cohesive and be readable and be impactful.
Yeah.
So you always look for that person that can help you with that. I mean, I hope they would come to True View Consulting or Dress Good Style, but there are resources out there to help when that kind of thing gets shaken up. And it does help tremendously to rebalance you to center
yes.
somewhat.
Well, you have been so helpful today in all of your wisdom and insight, and we're excited to hear more about your stores opening in February, and would love to maybe do a part two with you, Mary Beth. And is there anything else that you want to talk about with your business or your personal life? Or when are you getting married? Do you have a date set
for getting
married?
No date.
Okay.
No date, and I'm okay with it.
It's kind of a tough time to be planning weddings anyway. So,
yes, and we've had a lot of people that we've helped that have had to push theirs down, you know, out further date. But I guess to wrap up or say thank you
sure.
so much for having me. I love your product. I love what you do. I love what you stand for. And I always love meeting another woman in business who's, you know, in the trenches and
yes.
doing it every day. And again, as a small business, it doesn't ever get easier, but it does get more rewarding because you really do iron out things that you want to be a part of what your business looks like and what you don't. And that just takes experience and years under your belt.
Well, and you know, I always hear that your 50s and 60s are some of your best years because mm-hmm. you just stop, you know, not that you don't care, but you just know exactly what you
right.
want.
You have gotten rid of all the wasted energy things, and it's mm-hmm. it's much more focused.
Yes. Well, great. Well, thanks again, and we'll entertain another podcast in February at your grand opening, maybe. And,
that'd be fun.
And let everyone know what the latest styles, what to look out for this winter. So
okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mary Beth.